Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Give us a call. The number is 208-991-4783. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the support of our listeners. Thank you so much for all your financial support. It is greatly appreciated. And is a great help to the show, particularly in those times of need. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Stanley Price Matter.
Listening enjoyment, John Lund as... Johnny Dollar.
Henry Conrad, Johnny.
Hold on, Mr. Conrad, how are you?
Fine. Can you take a job?
No trouble at all.
Well, this is it. On Thursday of last week, we got a call from the New York police. They'd confiscated about $100,000 worth of rare gems. A man named Wells had been murdered, and they found the jewels in the water pipe beneath the sink.
Your company, Mr. Wells?
No. One of our clients in Europe was robbed about 3 months ago.
The same jewels?
We think so, but we can't be positive. They've been removed from their settings, and some of the larger ones have been recut. The police are holding Mrs. Wells, and she claims the jewels are rightfully hers. She says neither she or her husband knew they were hidden in the water pipe. Well, unless it can be proved the jewels were stolen, she's just liable to end up with them.
Possession, huh?
Yeah. It's a funny one. When can you start?
I've started.
Now for just a few words on the subject of getting things done. Within the past few years, a new plan of activity has sprung up in America, the do-it-yourself plan. Whether you want to build a better mousetrap, a house, a rocket ship, plant a garden, or have some new clothes, you can buy the plans or patterns and do it yourself, which is a good idea. But there are still many things which can be done better with advice and help from the experts. For example, if you want to know the best way to plow the land, irrigate fields, or terrace your sloping acreage, there are experts who are always at your service. The engineers who are employed by the Department of Agriculture. They are also the ones to ask for advice in constructing the buildings and potato cellars and seed beds on your farm. If you need electrical power on your farm, the department's electrical engineers will give you the help you need. Perhaps you may want to know the best way to can vegetables, what special shoe to buy, or how to plan the right kind of meals. If you do, the Bureau of Home Economics issues booklets on almost everything that goes into a home. If you want to set up a practical bookkeeping or accounting system to help budget and control your farm expenditure, the Department of Agriculture will help you work out the system which is best for you. It will also give farmers advice on financial matters, even help with cash loans, and help the farmer establish prices for his product, which are fair to both him and the buyer. All in all, the Department of Agriculture is a right neighborly organization to deal with, and an important part of your United States government.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, World Insurance and Indemnity Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Stanley Price matter. Expense account item one, $21.85. Train fare and incidentals between Hartford and New York City after receiving from you the necessary information concerning the case. I arrived in New York at 10 o'clock that morning and went directly to police headquarters, where I looked up Captain Fred D., in charge of robbery detail.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks.
Glad to help you any way I can.
Well, if it isn't too much trouble, I'd like the whole thing from the beginning.
Sure. Last Thursday, we got a call from a man named Price, Stanley Price. Said if we came to 956 East 114th Street, he'd find $100,000 in stolen jewels. Then there was a shot, and the line went dead. When we got there, we found the dead man.
Wells?
Yeah, Robert Wells. Shot twice in the head.
You're holding the wife?
Not since 8 o'clock this morning. We've got no evidence. No murder weapon, nothing. And, of course, she swears she knows nothing about it. Your company thinks the jewels belong to one of their clients.
Yeah, but they've been taken out of their settings and recut. Such a good job, they can't be identified.
Only one thing that ties in. Wells returned from Europe last Tuesday. Been over there for about 3 months. The robbery was abroad.
Yeah. Got anything on the man who gave you the tip?
Stanley Price? No, nothing much. We know it's Stanley Price. We think it's the same man in small-time hood. Picked up a couple of times. No conviction. Been making book lately, but we can't prove it. Can't find him anywhere. We got an APB out on him.
And you released Mrs. Wells?
Yeah.
She living in the same place?
Well, she went back to the apartment. She's still there. We got it staked out.
Well, it seems to me the first thing to do is find Stanley Price.
We'd like to.
I've got an old friend that knows all about small-time bookmakers. I'm going to drop by and have a talk with him.
Anyone I know?
Oh, probably. And he'd be hurt if I mentioned his name.
Hope you make out.
Now, what about the wife?
You going to see her?
After I take care of a few details. What's she like?
You won't mind a bit.
I left headquarters, checked into a hotel, then made arrangements to rent a car. At 12:30, I was pulling up in front of a brownstone in the village where an old friend lived. His name is Henri Duval, abstract painter and lover of Paris, mutuals. Henri.
Who is it?
Come on, Henri, open up.
Go away.
It's Johnny Dollar, Henri.
I don't talk no one. My landlord is a man of many voices.
I'm not your landlord.
You're not my...
Cross my heart.
Johnny. Mon ami, Johnny.
I haven't much time. I need a favor.
A favor. A favor. Hello. For you, a portrait costs only $50.
No pictures, Henri.
No picture?
Ever heard of a man named Price? Stanley Price?
No.
Paid your rent?
Same answer.
I have a small $10 bill here.
Mon ami, you would attempt a lowly bribe?
Well, what do you know? Here's another ten.
You know, I would ask you to stay for lunch, but Greenbaum will not even let me look in his delicatessen window anymore.
25?
Bien. But I only do it because I have the love for Greenbaum.
Show a little interest in Stanley Price for a minute.
Stanley Price, here. Peasant.
He's a bookmaker?
Of a sort. He owes me 1180. Marianne in the 8th at Ialia. By 8 lengths. Mon Dieu, such a pity.
Henri. Stanley Price.
Ah, oui, oui, the life.
Where can I find him?
Je ne sais pas.
Henri?
But it is a fool.
Scout's honor?
But of course. If I knew where the peasant was, would I not collect my 1180? But of course, Scout's honor. Look. You see?
You're only holding up one finger.
Le Cob Scout.
Oh. When was the last time you heard from him?
He took my $2 that wins for me the 1180. And then he was in the fish business.
Fish business?
Ah, oui, oui, oui. I know because he brought me 2 halibuts, which I promptly made into a magnificent bouillabaisse for my landlord. Terrible.
The stew?
No. Just the fish. Now, believe me, those 2 halibut were sold. They remembered Jonah.
Was he selling fish?
No. He was not selling fish. He was not selling fish. He was catching them. He had a boat. When I went down to collect my 1180, the boat was not there.
Where did he keep the boat, Henri?
A disgusting place. It was called, Schooner Landing. A place like that simply should not be. Do you know why? Stinks.
Oh. Well, thanks, Henri.
Oh, but you are leaving?
Yeah, you can unlock the door.
Wait. Hello, bonjour, mon ami.
Vive le fort.
I climbed back into the rented coupe and drove to the waterfront where I finally located Schooner Landing. A lot of small boats were tied up in slips, and an old man sat outside a shack at the head of the dock, sunning himself. Hello.
Hello?
You run this landing?
Yes.
You know a man named Price?
Stan Price?
Yep.
Yes.
Seen him lately?
Nope.
When was the last time you saw him?
You're a cop.
Nope.
That's too bad.
Why?
He owes me a week's rent on a boat.
Skip out? I understand he was fishing down here. Is that right?
Yeah.
How long ago did he rent the boat?
2 weeks ago.
When did he skip out?
About a week.
Anything unusual about things that he did?
Well, he weren't no fisherman.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, he didn't know the first thing about it. Fishing, that is. When he first rented my boat, he used to go out for 2 or 3 hours, come back with a couple of fish. Didn't have no gear to speak of, no live bait. Just a cold.
Well, didn't that seem kind of strange?
Weren't none of my business. Had a license.
You mean a regular fishing license or a commercial?
Yes.
Commercial?
Yes.
Did he do anything unusual the last day he was down here?
Well, don't know. He went out about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He was back here about 6:30. Only thing unusual about that, no time to do fishing.
What date was that?
Week ago yesterday. Oh, no, wait. So we go tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh. Thanks, Bob.
You sure you ain't a cop?
Yep.
G-man?
Nope.
Don't say no more than you have to do.
Nope.
Bye, Sonny.
I left Schooner's Landing and made a beeline to the Bureau of Licenses, where I located the fishing license that had been issued to Stanley Price. It had his picture on it, and the clerk allowed me to take it. I thanked him, then climbed back into my car and headed for 956 East 114th Street and Mrs. Wells.
Yes?
My name is Dollar.
What can I do for you?
I get tongue-tied when I stand in a hall.
You want in?
That's it.
Why?
Ever see this picture before, Mrs. Wells?
Come in. The man in the picture, who is he?
Don't you know?
I've only seen him once. Oh, won't you sit down?
Thanks. Where did you see this man, Mrs. Wells?
He came to see my husband. He was leaving just as I arrived.
Your husband say who he was?
No, mentioned something about some business he had with him.
Well, if it makes any difference to you, this man in the picture is Stanley Price.
Oh, one the police are after. The man they think killed my husband.
The man who called and told the police about the jewels your husband hid in the water pipe.
You're from the police?
No. I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh.
Your husband just got back from Europe a week ago, didn't he?
Yes.
By boat?
Yes.
What day did he arrive?
Last Wednesday. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a man with such attractive eyes. They're really very unusual. Nice hair, too. So curling.
I'll stop back when I've got more time and we'll straighten it out.
Leaving?
Yes, I'm going home and have another talk with Dad.
Well, in case I might want to get in touch with you...
I'm staying at the Shelton. Oh, by the way, what time did your husband's boat dock?
5:00.
Thanks.
Sure. Say hello to Dad.
I finally managed to get down to my car and drive back to the hotel. I called Lieutenant D and briefed him with what had happened to date. Then I went downstairs to get some lunch. As I crossed the lobby...
Don't turn around.
What is it?
Just keep looking straight ahead. I want something.
I was just going to have some lunch.
It'll keep.
Willis?
I haven't got much time. Give me the picture.
Oh.
Let's have it.
And if I don't?
Then you get shot right in the lobby of the Shelton Hotel.
Office in our land, the Presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? In 1868, after being appointed president of Hiram College, where he had previously taught, he married one of his ex-students. In 1880, he was chosen presidential nominee by his party on the 36th ballot as a compromise between General Grant, James Blaine, and John Sherman. Not much can be said of his administration, as he was president for only 5 months. That's when an assassin's bullet ended his life, making him the fourth president to die in office. If you don't have his name by now, here are two more clues. While he was president, Tuskegee Institute, the famous Negro coeducational college, was founded, and the American Red Cross was organized. Who was he? James A. Garfield, 20th president of the United States. His life is a part of your American heritage.
And now, with our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Have it. But it's the only one of me on a bare rug facing east. What'll Mom say?
A picture of Stanley Price.
Okay.
That's being smart. Now you stay put. Count 10 before you turn around. Believe me, Dollar, I mean it. I'll kill you if you move before 10.
You're being pretty silly, Price. They'll pick you up sure.
I don't think so.
Oh, by the way, Henri Duval says to thank you for the 1180.
1180? Oh. Yeah, tell him it was nothing.
It sure wasn't.
Start counting.
1, 2, button my shoe. 3, 4, close the door. 5, 6. I counted to 20 just to be on the safe side. Any guy who'd stick a gun in my back in broad daylight in the middle of a hotel lobby was pretty desperate. I finished counting, put in a call to Henri Duval, then headed for the robbery division and Captain D.
Right in the hotel?
Yeah, not 10 minutes ago. I had that picture of Stanley Price from the fishing license.
No, I don't get it. What's so important about that picture? Certainly not the only one of Price. We got mugs on him in the file.
I got a big hunch. My boss said it was important to prove those jewels were stolen or have somebody positively identify them. But if this wasn't done in a certain amount of time, the jewels will automatically go to Mrs. Wells.
Well, that's right, under normal circumstances. If we couldn't prove they were stolen or that they belonged to someone else, we'd have to turn them over. But there are enough extenuating circumstances. The killing of Wells, the way the jewels were hidden in the pipes, robbery in Europe, and Wells' subsequent return a short time later. We can hold on to them for a long time.
Don't.
What?
Do me a favor and turn them over to Mrs. Wells. I think it'll bust this thing wide open.
That's a big order.
Look. The guy who stuck me up in the lobby knew I had the picture. Somebody had to tell him where I was staying. Only people who knew that were you, Mr. Conrad from my company, and Mrs. Wells.
All right, Mrs. Wells told Price.
It wasn't Price.
It wasn't?
Not unless he paid Henri, that is a friend of mine, $1,180 in the last couple of hours.
Maybe he did.
He didn't. I checked.
Look, I'm sorry, but I'm confused.
Yeah, so am I a little. But I figure something like this. Wells arrived last Wednesday by boat in the afternoon around 5.
That's right.
Stanley Price was being a fisherman then.
Okay.
He'd rented a boat, taken out a fishing license. The day that Wells arrived, Price went out in the afternoon, stayed about 2 hours, came back, and then disappeared.
Then Wells shows up with a sink full of jewels.
Right. Probably had them on the boat. Avoided customs by dropping them overboard, and Price picked them up.
Yeah, and Price could have killed him for them.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. Wells was killed in his own apartment.
Yeah?
If Price picked up the jewels out of the water, why go to Wells, give him the jewels, let him hide them in the sink, kill him, leave without getting them, and then call the police?
I'm convinced.
Another thing. The pickup was pretty carefully planned. Wells couldn't have done it all by himself. He was in Europe. Somebody here had to plan it. Someone who knew Wells had the jewels.
The wife.
Yeah, looks that way.
And the guy who stuck you up wasn't Price. Maybe there's a third party.
Yeah, it could be, but I doubt it. I'd like to go down to the morgue and take a look at Wells.
Sure, I'll call him. Okay, Charlie.
Didn't help his face. How'd you get an identification?
A wife.
This isn't Wells.
It isn't?
This is Stanley Price.
You sure?
The picture on the fishing license. This is the same guy.
I'll have Mrs. Wells picked up.
And miss out on a big catch? Let me take the jewels over to her. It'll look official. Insurance company agent and everything. The captain was reluctant, but he agreed. We went back to headquarters, and he presented me with 100,000 in jewels. I left for Mrs. Wells' apartment, followed by two of New York's finest. The captain was agreeable, but cautious. The boys staked out across the street, and I went into the building and up to the apartment.
Hello.
I spoke with Dad.
Was his advice sound?
Oh, he just said there were bound to be days like this.
Then come in. Is this going to be business?
I come bearing gifts.
Oh,
I'm afraid the police can't keep these any longer.
The jewels?
Mm-hmm. There you are.
I don't understand.
Well, there's a little law after a certain
time. But the last time I talked with the police, they said they could impound them until my husband's murder was cleared up.
No, afraid not.
You mean I just get them? No strings?
Not a one.
But Mr. Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down.
Sure.
Now, you work for the insurance company, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, my husband wasn't insured.
Oh, he should have been. Not that you need the money now, but just suppose you hadn't been lucky enough to have your sink stopped up with all those nice little jewels.
If my husband wasn't insured, why are you mixed up in this?
You really want to know?
Uh-huh.
My company thinks those jewels were stolen from one of our clients.
I just can't stop looking at your eyes. They're even bluer in this life.
Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Get to it.
All right. I think something's real wrong.
Wrong?
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you'd like to tell me what it's all about.
Well, you've got the jewels.
And what do you think I'm going to do with them?
Well, that's up to you, isn't it?
Your company thinks these jewels are stolen, and you're just turning them over to me.
Can't do anything else.
Mr. Dollar.
Johnny.
Mr. Dollar, it's too easy.
Disappointed?
Well, suspicious. I've been around a little while.
Somehow I guess that.
And I think you're trying to put little Lois in a bind.
Really?
Yeah. And even if you've got the prettiest eyes in the whole wide world, I'm not going to let you.
You have something in mind?
Mm-hmm. Good night.
What?
Oh.
It landed right behind my right ear. I don't know what it was, but it was hard and it was cold. Whoever was on the other end of it had moved up behind the couch while Lois had kept me occupied. I went right to sleep and stayed that way for about 10 minutes. When I came to, I was all alone, except for a large swelling that was getting big enough to wear a hat. I stumbled downstairs and looked for the two policemen on stakeout, but they disappeared too. So I found a phone booth and put in a call to Captain D.
They're tailing the wife. Dillman just checked in and said they were with her downtown. She's doing some shopping on Fifth Avenue.
She's a decoy. She's leading your boys away from Wells.
Where are you?
In the Wells apartment. I got slugged about 10 minutes ago. Wells must have been in the apartment the whole time. After he put me to sleep, the wife probably left by the front door and led your boys downtown while Wells left by the back way.
Huh.
You can bet he's got the jewels. He'll try to get out of town.
I'll have every exit in the city covered.
Okay, but he's smart enough to know that. When you're through, meet me at Schooner's Landing.
Schooner's Landing?
Yeah. My guess is Wells is going to take a boat ride. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon when I arrived at Schooner's Landing. The old man was walking up from the slip.
Hello, Sammy.
Pop, which boat was Stanley Price renting?
That one. Just getting ready to go out. I just got through gassing her up. Fella paid me Price's bank rent.
Well,
is there something wrong?
Bob,
Dollar.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Wells.
Bob!
Drop the gun, Dollar. Drop it!
The police are right behind me.
Okay. Sit down.
You taking him?
He's an insurance man. He's going to be our insurance. If the police try anything, I'm going to shoot you, Dollar. Hold the gun on him while I get us out of here. When the police force hires gentlemen.
How's your head?
Uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll bet.
Or gal?
Take over the wheel. Keep it headed right for the breakwater light. Know anything about boats?
They float.
It's going to be a long ride. It's going to be pretty rough when we hit open water.
You're Robert Wells, aren't you?
That's right. How'd you figure it?
I saw Price in the morgue. Your wife identified him as you. But the picture on the fishing license showed he was Price. He didn't know whether I was working with the law or not, but you had to get the picture to give yourself enough time to get out of the country.
I knew the damage you could do if it got to the police.
Why did you kill Price?
He wanted 50% for fence to stuck. I said no and then caught him phoning the police. Had to kill him.
So you put your papers on him and told your wife to identify him as you.
The jewels were in the pipes under the sink. I knew the law would be there in 10 minutes, so I had to take a chance they wouldn't find him.
Bob, there's a boat coming up pretty fast.
So what?
I hate to spoil the party, but I think it's the Coast Guard.
Bob!
Shut up and stay with that wheel.
It looks like the boat.
Shut up! All right, Dollar. Get up on the bow.
Oh, I'll get seasick.
Move. I want him to see you.
Look. I don't swim very well. How about if I take this life for this?
Put it down.
Sure.
Stay right there, honey.
Stop your boat. Heave to.
Better do like the man says.
Come on, Dollar. Stop that boat.
All right. Keep your barnacles on. Expense account item 2. $8.75 for a big dinner that made up for the lunch I'd missed. After that, I went back to the hotel and got myself 12 hours of a good night's sleep. Expense account item 3. The $25 I bribed Henri Duval with. The last time I saw him, he was in Greenbaum's delicatessen, spending the money with his arm around Greenbaum. They were both smiling. Expense account items 4 and 5, $42.15, car rental and hotel bill. Item 6, $15.65, train fare and incidentals back to Hartford. Expense account total, $113.40. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars John Lund in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were John Stevenson, Kenny Delmar, Jay Novello, Howard McNear, and Mary Schiff. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle.
Welcome back. Well, this is one of those mysteries where the most important fact is who actually was murdered. This one took a few surprising twists as it went along the way. And other than some sound quality issues, wasn't disappointing at all. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback. Dave says, can't wait to get to the Bob Bailey episodes. Keep up the great work, Adam. Well, thanks so much. And unasked question, but probably worth investigating. How many episodes do we have till we get to hear Bob Bailey? By my count, we have another 42 weeks of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, with John Lund, and then with Gerald Moore. So we've got less than a year till we get into the Bob Bailey episodes. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say down south. Mark comments, hi there. I heard you mention on one of your podcasts that you were working on Broadway Is My Beat. I wonder if you have time scales for that. I would like to say how much I appreciate all the efforts you put in collecting this stuff out there and making in one series the characters I like, i.e. Nero Wolfe, Dragnet, and Sherlock Holmes. Well, thanks so much for the question, Mark. Broadway Is My Beat is a challenging show just because there are so many episodes out there. There's more than 160 episodes, which puts it right behind Johnny Dollar, Sherlock Holmes, Boston Blackie, and Let George Do It. So we have to set aside about a 3-year chunk. So it's going to be a while till we find that much space. The one thing I will say is I won't play Broadway Is My Beat at the same time I'm playing Night Beat. It's just too many down shows. You got to have a downer shows, I guess I should say. You got to have a balance there. But we'll definitely look for the opportunity. It's a great series with Anthony Ross in the beginning and the New York City episodes and Larry Thor the rest of the way. All right, well, that will do it for this week. We'll be back next Monday with Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator, and then join us on Friday for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And give us a call, 208-991-4783. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.